Okay, let's begin. Lately, I've been receiving comments that there are people in the Shia who have their wives are listening in the background, and are very disturbed that we say such wild things. So I apologize to those who are eavesdropping. Don't take me seriously. We have a tendency just to exaggerate and joke around a little bit here, but don't take us so seriously. That's all I can say. Any event, let's begin. Let's first review some of the basic facts. Tomorrow is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas traditionally has been designated as a fast day in the year 1244. The truth is the dates are a little bit fuzzy. There are different opinions. There are many different opinions as to exactly when the event occurred, the sequence of events. Not that long ago, there was a very thorough write-up, but a very, very nice write-up and analysis in the new journal called Kankan. It spanned a couple of issues, describing exactly the sequence of events. Okay, describing the sequence of events of what happened. But the basic idea is that there was in France, in Paris, there was a collection of there was an apostate by the name of Nicholas Donin. Nicholas Donin was a Jew who was a student of Rabbi Yechiel Miparis from Paris, and this Jew had a falling out with his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechiel, and he was engaging in this student had some ideas that were not acceptable, and he was told to behave himself, and when he refused to behave himself, things got worse, and eventually. Okay, eventually what happened was he was excommunicated. His Rebbe and the other people in the community, they put him in Cherem, and this, he did not take it well. And one thing led to another, where he went to the church and to the king, I didn't prepare all the names and the dates, and he told them a secret that's very clear from the history was not understood or appreciated by the church and by secular society. And the secret was that what really keeps the Jews on their feet and guarantees their mitzvahs is not the mitzvahs, it's not the observance of mitzvahs, and it's not Torah Shebichsav. It is Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh is the secret to their survival. And if you only take away from them their Torah Shebaal Peh, very quickly, over a very short period of time, will they acknowledge the truth of Christianity, and they will convert. And the technique that Nicholas Donin used, and his those that helped him, was to delegitimize the Talmud by proving the Talmud Bavli, which is the Torah Shebaal Peh, is anti-Christian, is anti-Yoshka, has numerous statements which mock and attempt to delegitimize the truth of their Avodah Zarah of Yashka. He presented this argument to the church, to the king, and they went for it. And they launched an investigation which ultimately led to the seizure of every known tome of the Talmud. Now this took place approximately 500 years before the invention of the printing press. was it 500, maybe 300, no, 200 years, 200 years, sorry, 200 years, 200 years. 200 years.
It
200
was,
years.
Philip, the, it was, right. The Pope was Pope Pius IV, and King Philip was the king.
And this took place 200 years before the invention of the printing press, which means that every one of these volumes was handwritten. And it's impossible for us to appreciate the tragedy of these wicked people coming into private homes and searching for volumes of the Talmud. It wasn't so hard to find because they didn't live in such big homes, and these volumes are very, very large, and they were very easy to locate them, and they seized them. They took them, they brought them to the Church of Notre Dame. They were there in the Church of Notre Dame in the basement for approximately 2 years. During this time, there was a debate. What is the fancy word for the debate? Deposition? What is it called? The debate. The debate.
Oh, it has a name.
It has a name. There was a debate. Rabbi Chili Pariz prepared.
What's the word?
Disputation. A disputation. That's the word I was looking for. The disputation. A disputation where it was a show. It was a big show between the Christians, between Nicholas Donin, and they selected a few Talmidei Chachamim to defend the Talmud, and they did. They defended it, and in fact, the entire record of the entire debate has been recorded, word for word, literally word for word, and it's available. And not that long ago, in the Kuntres called Kankan, they actually go through exactly word for word the debate between Nicholas Donin and Rabbi Chumi Pariz. Rabbi Chumi Pariz is a very powerful person. He was fearless, and he really lashed into the people in the audience, and it was a lively debate. It's probably impossible for something like this to happen today. And the end was the Jews really won. The end was, it's pretty clear, is that the arguments, the defense of the Talmud, was very clear and powerful, and it doesn't matter. A guy is a guy. Halacha, the Yadua, Esav, son of Yaakov, they were sore losers, and they decided for no reason that these volumes of the Talmud have to be destroyed. It was Erev Shabbos. I'm not sure it was Erev Shabbos. I don't know. I don't
have the same thing today. Just because you win the argument doesn't mean you win.
Exactly. You can never win. No matter, whatever happens. They knew they were going to lose anyway. It was just a matter of how things would play out. Any event, when this whole thing was over, about 2 years after a certain period of time, they gave the command. They took out all the top. They took out on 24 cartloads. On 24 cartloads was stored the Talmud. There's different gears. So some say it was 20 cartloads, some say it was 24. There were 1,200 books, and they were burnt in the towns, in the square, in the area in front of the Church of Notre Dame. It was a very great tragedy. It was a person that was present there, a Talmud of Rabbi Yechiel, who was the one who led the debate. His name was the Maram Mirandberg. The Maram Mirandberg was from the last Rishonim. He was there. He was a very young man at this moment. He was in his early 20s. He saw what happened, and he composed the famous kina called Sha'ali Serufa Be'esh, which means the item, the Sefer Torah, the Torah that has been burnt by fire. Sha'ali, seek out the good and welfare of the Jewish people. It's a play. The words of Maram Mirandberg's opening words are a play on the words of Rabbi Huda Halevi of Sha'ali Shalom Yerushalayim. Okay, Tzion, Haloi Sishali Lishloim Asirayich. Everyone knows those words, the kina of Rabbi Huda Halevi. Tzion, Haloi Sishali, Tzion, when will you seek out the peace, the good of the captives, of your captives? Tzion, Haloi Sishali, will you not seek out Shalom, the peace, the good welfare of Asirayich, of your citizens who are now in captivity amongst the Umay Soilam? On a play on those words, Maram Mirandberg, this is about 100, 200 years later, must be 200 years later, he wrote a kina, shali srufa ba'ish. It's a similar type of expression. Will the Torah HaKedosha that has been burned in the fire, will you please come forward and complain before HaKadosh Baruch Hu as to what has happened and demand justice for the insult that has taken place and bring retribution to our enemies and bring redemption for the Jewish people? That's basically the theme of Shalis Shufa Be'esh. And in fact, there is a custom, if you can do it tomorrow, it's a very nice thing to open up the kinos. It's towards the end of the kinos. Maybe I think it's kina mem aleph. Perhaps, if I'm not mistaken, it's kina mem aleph. And there is a custom on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, to read that kina. Because Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, has been the day that has been designated to mourn, to fast, and to remember this horrific event. It's not just a day, it's a whole sequence of events. It's a whole story. You have to appreciate that Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas is not just all the Sefer Torah was burnt. That's not what it's about. It's about an entire period of time. It's about a sequence of events where there was a Rebbe who did not know how to deal with the student. That's also part of the problem. The Rebbe had a student that was problematic, had crazy ideas. He had ideas that were not acceptable. And unfortunately, the Rebbe pushed him away too harshly, similar to how Rabbi Shulam Parachia pushed away Yeshu HaNotzri, which led to Christianity. Chazal said a person should not be too strict. You should push with your left hand, but be mekarev with your right hand. And because Rabbi Shulam Parachia did not properly utilize that Chazal, he pushed away Yeshu HaNotzri with too harshly, he went off, he rebelled, and he created Christianity, which has been the source of tzaris for Klal Yisrael from time immemorial. Well, similarly, this person, Nicholas Donin, was a student of Rabbi Yechiel, who also had some strange ideas, and the Rebbe was a little bit too strict with him, and he was put in cherim, and ultimately, he joined the church, and he was extremely dangerous because he knew too much. He joined the church with all of the secrets, and he used that against us, which ultimately led to the entire, all of the Sephardim of the Talmud in the entire France, or Paris at least, I'm not exactly sure the scope of how far it went, was destroyed. That's very tragic. It's a very great tragedy when a Rebbe does not properly know how to deal with a student. The tragedy of the Goyim learning the secret, this is a very important element of the story of Shalis Shufa Be'esh. It was a tekufa when the Goyim, for the very first time, had an appreciation and a full understanding that the secret lifeblood of Klal Yisrael is not the Torah in the mitzvahs, it's not the Torah Shebichsav, it's the Torah Shebalpeh. There's something magical about Torah Shebalpeh. When you learn a Daf Gemara, somehow, some way, we don't understand how this works. It lightens the neshama, it ignites the neshama, it kindles the neshama of a Jewish person. When you learn about these ancient, antiquated concepts, Shar, Shenogach Esapara, an ox who gores a pregnant, a cow. Today there are no oxen amongst us, there are no cows. A lot of these principles are totally foreign from us. The cases, but the principles are alive and well. And it's magic. There's sanctity when learning, going through the sugyas, the shakla v'tai of learning the Talmud Bavli, learn Chumash and Rashi, it opens up your neshama. And this is the true secret of survival for Klal Yisrael, Jewish continuity. It's a major, major component, not necessarily the only component of Jewish continuity, but it's a major chunk of koyach, which allows Klal Yisrael to survive in Golis, is Jewish education, the study of Torah Shebaal Peh, and this was not understood or known to the church until this point in time. They tried for 1,000 years to destroy the Jewish people, and they were unsuccessful. They couldn't figure out why. Nicholas Donin explained to them why, and they got it. And they went out on an attack to destroy the Talmud Bavli. And they succeeded to a degree in in destroying Yiddishkeit in Paris, and for that matter, the entire France. And that's part of the tragedy. So the tragedy is a Rebbe Talmud, the breakdown of the relationship with the Rebbe Talmud. There's a tragedy of the Goyim becoming aware of the secret, that it's the Torah Sheval Peh, which is the secret to our survival, and now they have new ammunition to use against us to try to destroy us. And the tragedy that they succeeded. The anti-Semitism broke out to a degree that was out of control. The hatred was out there in the streets, to the degree where they destroyed all the known volumes of Talmud publicly in this church. I'm sure you all remember last year, exactly a year ago, it was Erev Pesach, I think it was, Erev Pesach, when the Church of Notre Dame burned down. I read recently, do you know how many people visit Notre Dame? 13 million people a year visit the Church of Notre Dame. Is that really true? That's an amazing number. That's really true. 13 million people come to as tourists to see the Church of Notre Dame. It's hard to believe that's true. Number is true. But that's what it says. And this church has been around for 700 years. Nothing has changed. It was in the basement of this church where the Sepharim, the Talmud Bavli, was stored for two years. And it was in the open area, in the presence of this church, in the square where it was burnt. And last year, Erev Pesach, the church burned down. I mean, didn't burn down totally, but the damage was in the probably hundreds of millions of dollars to the church. And last year we discussed some of the significance of the dates. There's a lot of powerful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping track. But that's the tinus. And tomorrow there's a minig. Now there's been a minig from time immemorial that Erev. Now, what happened? The story goes further. We have to explain what this means. The people, the Gedolei Yisrael living at that time were very disturbed as to what has happened. Obviously, they did something called, they conducted what was called a tinus chalon, which means they fasted in preparation and they misfollow that someone in Shemayim should come and communicate with a person in this world through a dream and tell them some information to explain to them what's going on. What does that mean? I do not know. And indeed, one of the Talmidei Chacham of the generation was selected, and in Shemayim, they sent a message in a dream, and the message was three words. The first three words of Parsha, the Targum Unkelis, the first three words of the Unkelis, Do Gezeras Oiraisa. Zois Chukas HaTorah, Do Gezeras Oiraisa. The Talmidei Chacham of that generation understood these words to mean that this was Min HaShemayim, obviously, right? It wasn't a Shemayim, and they should do something about it. And from then on, from here on in, it was decided that on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, they should fast. There should be a tainus. The tainus is the entire day. The tainus, for whatever reason, was only instituted for boys who are over the age of 18 years old. That was the rule. You have to be over. 13-year-old boy does not fast tomorrow. It was only for boys over the age of 18 and girls over the age of 16. Why the difference? I don't know. It must be the girls are more mature than boys. Nothing new. You see, it goes back to ancient times. Girls are more mature than boys. From the age of 16 years old, they should fast every year, Erev Shabbos, Parashas Chukas. Now, it's very bizarre that a tainus was instituted on a day of the week instead of the actual calendar day. What was the calendar day? It's not so clear. I think it was Tes. It was the ninth day of Tammuz. So the ninth day of Tammuz would be exactly 1 month before Tisha B'Av, exactly 30 days before Tisha B'Av. That's the actual calendar date when this event took place. But the tainus was instituted to take place on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. And the question is why? Why? So we have to discuss some of those reasons. One reason I've seen given is that those there's another Girsa, it appears there's another Girsa in Unculus. Our Girsa in Unculus has the words Do Gezeras Oiraisa. This is the Gezerah of the Torah. The other Girsa has the Do Gezeras Oiraisa. There is a Vav that comes before. Okay, a Vav that comes before the word Do. If that is correct, then that's why it was decided specifically it take place on Erev Shabbos, because Vav is the sixth day of the week. So Vida, this was a Gezerah, a horrible, harsh decree, Oiraisa, upon the Torah, and being that the first letter is a Vav, Vid, Vid, Vav is six, the sixth day of the week is when it should take place. Okay? That's one reason. A second reason, the Parsha Paraduma, the Parsha of Chukas is all, the beginning of Chukas is about the Paraduma. And what do we do to the Para Aduma? We burn the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma is Nisraf. And through the burning of the Para Aduma and producing ash, and the ash being sprinkled upon the people who are Tomei Meis, there is, Chazal tell us, atonement for the Chet HaEgel. The worst sin that Klal Yisrael committed was the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, after Hashem gave us the Torah, only 40 days later, we worship the Egel. We worship the Egel. How could a Kala, Chazal, compare the worshipping of the Egel to a Kala bin Mezane under the Chuppah? Baruch Hashem, we've never seen such a thing like this. Could you even fathom going to a wedding and the Kala is publicly Mezane under the chuppah? Could you imagine such a thing? Unheard of, right? No one would tolerate it. Even though it's just a Kala, mind your own business. This is America. Freedom. Mind your own business. But I don't think anyone today would take advantage of that principle. And if they were going to a wedding, and underneath the chuppah, the Kala calls over someone, and she's mezane with someone under the chuppah, I don't think it would be acceptable. It would be tolerated. Yet, Klal Yisrael, 600,000 people tolerated 3,000 people worshipping in Egel 40 days after Hashem gave us the Torah, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to come down from Shamayim. It was like a Kala that was mezane tachas chuppah. Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Heref mimenu v'ash midein, this sin is so severe, I'm going to destroy the Jewish people, I'm going to make you into a new nation. Moshe Rabbeinu was misfal, Hashem forgave us, but the damage was done. And therefore, every generation we continue to suffer and we are punished for the chet of the Egel. And a portion of atonement for the chet of Egel is the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma is Nisraf, it is burnt, we produce ash, and in essence, this Sreifas HaTorah is part of the atonement for the Chet of the Egel. I don't understand what that means, I really don't. All I can relate to is understanding is that this event brought with it enormous damage and pain and suffering to the Jewish people. It led to their expulsion from the land, from France, which set a precedent to be removed and expelled from other lands as well. It set off a process of enormous grief, enormous chaos that's indescribable. And although maybe the number of people who died do not equal the numbers of people who died in the Holocaust, but the amount of suffering that this event triggered going forward in the next hundreds of years is indescribable. It's truly indescribable what this led to. This set a precedent for other nations that Jews should be challenged and should be expelled from the land. It set in motion the most horrific events in Jewish history. And all of this is understood to relate directly to the Parah Aduma. And just like the Parah Aduma is an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, this event and the aftermath, consequence, the ramifications of this event is also an atonement for the Chet HaEgel. Now, I don't understand what that means, I told you, but I'm just telling you what it says. You put piece together bits of information, you get a little bit of appreciation of what happened. Now, therefore, that is why the leaders of the generation felt, in order to make sure people understand that this horrific event is an atonement for the tsar that accompanies this event, and all of the things that happen going forward is an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, we want people to connect the dots. They should clearly understand that it relates to the Chet HaEgel, and that's why we're going to institute that the fast day take place on Friday, the day before everyone reads Zois Chukas HaTorah. If the fast takes place the day before you read the word Zois Chukas HaTorah, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemar Parah Aduma, it will be remembered for eternity that this event and its consequences and ramifications is just like the Parah Aduma. It is an atonement for the sins of the Egel. Okay, so that's the second reason why it's juxtaposed, it's Dafka on Friday. Now there's a third reason why it's on Friday. This is a drush. I said this over last year, probably the year before. And I'll just very quickly, is because we have a principle in halacha, in machshava, hafeichba, hafeichba, dekulaba. The sermon. The rabbi traditionally would give a sermon. The rabbi would look at current events, open up the newspaper. What are the key stories? What are the top stories of the week? What's happening in the world this week? What are the goyim talking about? What happened this week in the world? What happened? It was a major court decision. The Supreme Court handed down a decision relating to abortion, which has shocked the world, America. Okay, what other events happened this week? Okay. Education. What?
Education.
What happened what?
Something that we have to be treated the same way as the public school.
Oh, that's something good for us. Okay, there was another decision in the courts relating to religious institutions. Religious institutions are no different than secular institutions, and the government that funds, that decides to fund institutions, has the requirement not to discriminate between a religious institution and a secular institution. Okay, another facet to that principle, and it's not a violation of church and state. Okay, that's in the Supreme Court. But generally, Black Lives Matter has, I mean, a little bit quieted down, just a little bit. I don't think it's as intense this week as it was the last 2 weeks. It's quieted down, Baruch Hashem, to some degree. I don't know, whatever. I don't read the news the whole day. But whatever it is, the rabbis would read the news and they would look into the parasha, and there's a message in the parasha, hafeichba, hafeichba dekulaba. If you're skillful, you can go into the day itself. On whatever happens in the news on Sunday, look at the first aliyah. Whatever happens in the news on Monday, in the second aliyah. Today is Thursday. So today, study Chamishi. In Chamishi of this week's parasha, you will find the secrets of the news, a Torah Hashkafa on what's happening, the top news stories of the day. Friday, Erev Shabbos, study the sixth aliyah. In Parashas Chukas, if you want to find anywhere in the Torah, if someone would challenge you, show me where in Chamisha Chumshei Torah, show me a few psukim that bring out the beauty of Torah Shebal Peh. Challenge you. Take out a Chumash and start from Bereishis all the way to the last pasuk in Vezayis HaBracha, and I want you to select for me 1, 2, 3, 4 psukim that bring out the beauty of Torah Shebaal Peh like none other. That's the challenge. And the winner has been selected. The winner has submitted Parshas Chukas in the sixth Aliyah, the Shiras Be'er. Oz Yoshir Yisrael, Es Hashira Hazos, the Jewish people they sang the following Shira. What was the Shira? Ali Be'er, may the well, may it rise up. Enula, respond. Say the following, give over the following message to the bear. We hereby ask that the well come up to the stage. Is the well present in the auditorium? Please, Mr. Well. Mr. Well, are you here? Mr. Cistern, are you here? Mr. Be'er, are you here? Please come up to the stage. Enula, we want to present you with an award. What do we want to say? What do we want to respond to you? Be'er, we say to you, Mr. Well, Mr. Cistern, Mr. Be'er, you are a well, Chafaruha Sorin. You have been dug by a prince, by the princes. Karua, you have been hewn, Nidiveon, by the most noble of the people. Bimchoy cake, by the lawgivers. Bimish anoisam, with their stick, with their distinguished gavel. Their stick, a distinguished person has a stick, has a makel, a cane. Midbar matanan, from the midbar, from a place of nothingness, you've become. In the midbar, you've been given, in the midbar, a gift has been given to you. Okay, I don't know all the details of this passage, but basically what the drush is, look at Rashi. Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. Torah is a water, and a be'er is a metaphor for Torah. And the waters over here, the be'er is the be'er of Torah, the mayim. And the mayim have been crafted, the Torah has been developed, and has been expounded by the very great Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Anav Mikol HaAdam. He went to Shemam, he brought down the Torah, and he gave us the Torah. He explained to us the Torah, and his successors have developed the Torah. And we're discussing in the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Nidiveyam, the lawgivers. This pasuk, the pasuk of the Shira, is describing in detail, when we study the Midrashim, the beauty of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore, if we are going to fast and mourn and recite a kina over the sreifa of the Torah HaKadosh, the Torah Shebaal Peh, of the Talmud Bavli, of the Torah Shebaal Peh, Chazal wanted that it should be, Baruch Hashem, the noise in the background finally stopped. They wanted it to be expressed on a day against the backdrop of appreciating of what we lost, of the beauty of the Torah. The sixth day of the week of Parshas Chukas is the day of Oz Yoshir Yisrael. The Jewish people had the most beautiful appreciation of the Be'er of Torah Shebaal Peh. And they praised Hashem for giving us the Torah Shebaal Peh. They praised Hashem for giving us Moshe Rabbeinu, who has expounded upon the Torah Shebaal Peh, who has developed the Torah Shebaal Peh. On the day that is the backdrop to this day, which is the beauty, is the backdrop when we can mourn for its loss, for its disgrace, for its the sreifa that took place. And that's why B'davka has to happen on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, because it corresponds to Ali Be'er Enula. Now that was last year, but this year is this year.
Why am I making a suggestion?
Yes?
Because I'm going to have to go out. That we're told that the Goyim will be skeptical and make fun of us over the Para Aduma because it doesn't make sense. And they'll use that as something to be skeptical of the Torah in general. So there's an association there.
Excellent,
between,
excellent.
Chukas and
fantastic. Rabbi Chol is telling us another reason why it has to be Bedavke Erev Shabbos Parashas Chukas. We want to juxtapose this morning right up against the reading of Para Aduma, because what is Para Aduma? It is the quintessential chok. And it is the mitzvah that the goyim select to mock the Torah. The Serefas HaTorah was the ultimate mockery of the Torah by the Umay Sa'olam. It was the ultimate mockery. And therefore, that's why it has to be right up against the reading of Para Aduma. Excellent. That's a beautiful, beautiful. I got to write that down. That's a very beautiful approach. And now, why am I telling this to you? Because this year we got a problem, Rabbi Isai. Because this year we don't lay in Parshas Chukas. This year we lay in Chukas Balak. So why this year should we read? Should we fast Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas when the sixth Aliyah does not mention Oz Yashir Yisrael Es Ashira Hazais Ali Be'er Enula? Why this year? So the answer is, Rabbi Isai, it's amazing. Let's take a look at the sixth Aliyah of the combined Parshas Chukas Balak. Right, you combine, so you lay a few aliyahs together. So, what is the sixth aliyah this year, which corresponds to the sixth day of the week, Erev Shabbos? It is. It's really Revi'i. It's Revi'i. It's the Revi'i of Parshas Balak. And it goes all the way until the Shishi of Parshas. It goes all the way until the Shishi. And there, in the middle of the sixth Aliyah, where we combine Chukas Balak, we come to Pasuk Chof Dalet. Pasuk Chof Gimel and Pasuk Chof Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Perek. Easy to remember. 23:23. Chav Gimel, Chav Gimel. There are 23 members of the Sanhedrin. 23:23. And what does it say in Perek 23, Pasuk 23? What does it say? It says, Ki lo nachash b'Yaakov. There is lo nachash in Yaakov. Lo kesem b'Yisrael. There's no sorcery and involvement in the koiches of Tumah. And then it says, Ko'es. At this time, Ye Omer Li Yaakov, it will be said about the Jewish people, Uli Yisrael, Ma Poalkel, what is Hashem doing? What does that mean? Rashi, Chav Gimel, we jump to the Rashi, Ko'es, Ye Omer Li Yaakov, Oid, Osid, Li Yois Eis, Ko'es Hazois. There's going to be a time, it's going to happen in the future. Like this time, Asher Tigale, it will be revealed to the world, Chibosan, the love that Hashem has, Le'ein Kol, for the Jewish people in front of the entire world. What will be this love? Shehein Yoshvin Lefanov. Klal Yisrael will be sitting before Hashem, the Loimdim Torah, and they're going to be learning Torah, Mipiv, directly from Hashem, Torah Shebal Peh, Mipiv, from Hashem's mouth, right? It's not going to be the Luchos. The Luchos is Torah Shebuchsav. Klal Yisrael is going to enter into the Mechitzos, and they're going to be hearing a shir from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Will Hashem go on Zoom? Maybe. Has mi pon of kol aretz. Everyone, mute yourselves, right? But Hashem is going to speak directly. And the location of the Jewish people will be within the Mechitzos. of the Malachi HaShareis, v'heim yishalu lehem, and the Malachi HaShareis are going to be jealous, and they're going to say to Klaus, what did Hashem, what's the shir? Ma po'a lakel, chazorah samaymer, what did Hashem say? Rabbi Yisai, is there a pasuk? V'zeu she'nemar v'hoyu l'aynecha ro'ois esmerecha. And this will be fulfillment of what it says in the pasuk, that your eyes will see your master, your teacher. Rabbi Yisai, is there a better fulfillment of the beauty, the chiba of Torah Shebal Peh, b'chol ha-Torah kul, than this pasuk? In other words, we made a mistake. We gave everyone an assignment to find the most beautiful pesukim in the entire Chumash that brings out the beauty of Torah Shebal Peh. And the winner is the person who selected the pasuk, Oz Yashir Yisraelis Ashir Azos Ali Be'er Enula. But Rabbi Yisai, we have to take away the award from that person because we found a better pasuk. We indeed have found a better pasuk. And that's here in Parshas Balak, in the sixth Aliyah, which corresponds to the sixth day of the week, Ko'es Ye'omer Li'akov Uli Yisrael Ma Po'alkel. There will come a time when the love Hashem has for Klal Yisrael will be revealed to the entire world, when we will be sitting inside Hashem's Mechitzais, and Hashem will be giving a shir, a daf yoyim shir, a daf gemara. Rabbi Yisai, that's the background for the Sreifa Satayra. Ribbono Shel Olam is being mechazek us. When you're coming to reflect and you're seeing in front of you the Sreifa, that the Goyim, these wicked, wicked people, the koyach of rishus in this world. Don't underestimate the koyach of rishus. That's the problem in America with all these liberal movements. They don't realize they're coming for them next. They're coming from them. These people who are passing these laws, defunding, the people who are defunding the police department, they're going to come for you. The criminals, they're going to come for you. You're a fool. You're only destroying yourself. It's not to be believed. Don't underestimate, in this world there are rishayim, wicked people. But when these wicked people, when they taunt us, and they took our Sifrei Torah, they took our Talmud, our Torah Shebal Peh, and they destroyed it, Hashem is being mechazek us. And Hashem is saying, listen, I'm the ultimate rabbi. I'm the rabbi, I'm giving a sermon. Hafoichba, hafoichba, dukulaba. The sixth day of the week corresponds to the event, the current events of the sixth aliyah of the week corresponds to the current events of the sixth day of the week. And on this day, when you reflect upon the Sreifa Satara, let me be mechazek you. Don't worry. My chiba for you, Klal Yisrael, be niskala l'ein koil. Just like this Sreifa is happening in the square of Notre Dame, in the public square for all to see, there is the Sreifa of this Torah, don't worry. The day will come when you'll sit in front of me and I'll teach you the Torah. And your mechitza will be lifnim mechitzas and shel malachi hashareis. And the ganze welt will want to know, including the malachi hashareis, ma po'alkel. Can there be a greater chizuk for Klal Yisrael against dealing with such difficulty? This year, the Ribbono Shel Olam has orchestrated that we should lain chukas bolok together, at least in chutz liaretz. Because Ribbono Shel Olam knows that we need a little more chizuk this year. We need a little more chizuk. We're under attack. We really are under attack. We're under attack. This corona business, okay, it has a physical component, and there's a spiritual component. And the spiritual element of corona has attacked us. You know, corona, physically, has done very little harm to children. Very little. Okay, there's a new thing now. They're worried about children. There's certain, very, even that's mamish, one in a million. But Corona Kimat hasn't touched children at all. Physically. Spiritually, they were target number one. Corona spiritually has destroyed children. The prime target of COVID-19 were the Tinoikoi Shobeis Rabba. The adults, no, anyway, well, adults can get away with it. Adults, they stay home, you work from home, you run around here, you run around there, but the children, the chinuch habonim, the habonis, the proper chinuch lost a whole half a year of being in an environment by rebbeim. The primary target of COVID-19 were the tinoikos shel beis rabba. This year has been a very difficult year. We've been under attack. Not physically, Baruch Hashem, chaste Hashem ki lo samu, but spiritually, it's been very challenging. Very challenging across the board. And Hashem this year has orchestrated for us to have an extra dosage of chizuk. When we come to focus tomorrow upon the bezoyin atayra, the sreifa satayra, our inability to connect, Hashem has given us chizuk by telling us, Ko'es yomer liyakov uli Yisrael, ma po'al kel. Hashem over here, don't worry, my chiba will be revealed to the entire world, showing you and the world how precious you are and how precious the Torah HaKadosh is. Okay, now, there's one more word I have to tell you, and this is something that's new to me, relating to Dog Zera Daraisa, and it's to me an incredible shock, and it answers a very big difficulty, which we've discussed, and that is, what in the world is this She'elis Chalon? At this time, there was a very big problem, and they didn't know what to do. Okay, they did not know what's going on. Over here we have a situation here where the Jews are under attack. All of the copies of the Talmud have been collected in the basement. It was burnt publicly. The Jews were later expelled. Some say they were expelled 62 years later. Some say 66 years later. Some said we got the dates all wrong. They were expelled the next day, literally. A lot of the history is very fuzzy. Some reason is there's a lot of confusion as to exactly how these events played out on the calendar. But there's no doubt about it is that this event led to very great problems. And the question is, what did the leaders of the generation do about it? They were Shoyel Hashem in a dream. Okay, what does that mean? I don't know. But they were mispalda. Before I continue, Rabbi Isai, I have to plug in my computer because I have a message on the screen that says if you don't plug in your computer, we're going to turn off. For some reason I forgot to plug it in. Forgot. See my studio here? Mark sees all the equipment here. We have a whole studio here. All this fancy stuff. Now we're good. Okay. We're good to go now. We're back in business. They were shol b'chaloyim. What does it mean they were shol b'chaloyim? What is this all about? This principle of the shol b'chaloyim. So I saw yesterday in a sefer called Avnei Shoyan. He cites another sefer, which I don't remember the name of the sefer, that says as follows. Whenever Rachmana Litzlan there's a difficult time with Jewish people, when the Jewish people are under attack, there is a dilemma that the leadership of the community has. First of all, you need leadership. Today, I don't see there being any leadership, but if you have a community where we have leadership, the leaders of the community have a dilemma. The dilemma is, should the people resist or should they be passive? It's a very tough question. Okay, we'll talk about now the yeshivas, right? The yeshivas and the shuls. The government has shut down the yeshivas, the shuls, the camps. They shut them down. Now, if we had leadership, the leadership should make, we should all come together as one community, we're all living in America, and we should make a decision. Should we resist? Should we just keep the shuls shut down, the camps and the facilities and the parks indefinitely until the goyim on their own decide, okay, you can open up. When will that be? Who knows? Whenever they say. If it takes a year, it takes a year. It takes 6 months, it takes 6 months. Just sit back and do nothing? Or should we resist? Should we organize, get together and organize, be Meisur Nefesh, you have to resist? This is a dilemma. This is always a dilemma in Jewish history when the Jews, when there are issues in the community, should the leadership view this as an attack upon Judaism and they have an obligation to get together and to resist one way or another? 99% of the time we will resist peacefully, but who knows, if it's a gezeres hashmad, when a goy, like in back in ancient history, when they're trying to persecute us, to destroy us, people have an obligation to give up their life for the Torah. And sometimes no, the correct approach is you sit back and you do nothing. Let's look at probably the most significant example of this in history, and that is the Churban Bayis Rishon. Yirmiyahu commanded Tzidkiyahu to surrender. Do not resist. Nebuchadnezzar has besieged Yerushalayim. He was given explicit instructions from the Ribbono Shel Olam through Yirmiyahu. It is the will of Hashem to raise the white flag and surrender. Surrender, let Nebuchadnezzar enter the city, let him do whatever he wants, and if you will surrender to Nebuchadnezzar, Hashem is telling you, you're not going to die. He's not going to let them kill you. He may destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but you'll come out alive, you'll come out ahead. Tzidkiyahu disobeyed a direct order from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he said, we're not surrendering. We're going to fight. We're going to be Meisur Nefesh. That was a very bad decision. Especially when Hashem himself tells you what to do. If Hashem tells you what to do, you don't disobey, you don't resist. And with every generation, there are issues. In every generation, there are times, talk about the Crusades. The First Crusade. What was the choice? Convert to Christianity or we'll kill you. The Psak HaLacha was, be killed. Better you should die. That's right, you should die. A person should die. Be Moiser Nefesh. Resist. The church, the government is demanding that you convert to Christianity or we will kill you. Jewish leadership made it very clear. Resist, fight. Do not convert, even if they take your life. The Warsaw Ghetto, recent times, okay, the Warsaw Ghetto. Rav Menachem Zemba, famous, one of the Gedolei Hadar. Psak Halacha was, resist. Don't sit back and do nothing. Resist, fight, rise up. Rise up against the Nazis. There was a Shiloh Sohanish, Rav Menachem Zemba. We're anyway going to die. Just a matter of time. We have now, I estimate we have about a week left until we die. I can spend this last week of my life saying Tehillim, fasting, doing Teshuvah, preparing for my neshama's return to Hashem. Or I can get out there with some weapons, I should go fight. spend my last. We're gonna die for sure. There's no way we're gonna win this. We're gonna die no matter what, no matter what. But maybe I should show those animals that we're not gonna accept this. And Nachum Zemes said, go fight. Better you should go fight and you should die as a martyr, being killed as a soldier, than remain the last week and say Tehillim. Incredible. It's an incredible Pesach Halacha. And you have to understand the times, and it's impossible probably to really understand what he said unless we live there and we're experiencing what they were going through in the Warsaw Ghetto. Okay, it's not so simple to understand these things unless... Okay, so this is now. So let's continue with this thing. At the time when the Sifrei Torah in Notre Dame were Nisraf, when this was happening, the leaders of the generation did not know what to do. They did not know, should they just surrender, let it happen, don't resist. When they come into their homes and steal their volumes of Talmud, should they just be passive? Or maybe they should resist. And they should say to the soldiers, to the police who enter their home and demand, where is the Talmud Bavli? We're not giving it to you. You want to take it? We'll fight with our lives. You want to burn the Talmud? We're all going to come out to the square of Notre Dame and fight and prevent you from burning our Sifrei Torah. Even if the result will be that we'll also be burnt. You'll burn us with the Sifrei Torah. So be it. There was a dilemma among Jewish leadership how to respond to the event of the day. In Paris, the church, under the leadership of this apostate Nicholas Donin, was attacking Torah Shabbat Peh. Should the Jews organize and resist violently? Or should the Jews be passive and let things just go the way they go? They'll burn the Sifrei Torah, they'll take the Talmud, we'll spare our lives, and we'll figure it out. We'll figure out our next move. But not to rise up, resist, fight, and give up our life for this cause. We don't live during these times. We don't appreciate what was going on, but it was very, very heavy. It was a very unique and difficult era when Judaism, Yados, the core of Judaism was under attack. Torah Shebaal Peh was under attack like never before. What do we do? What is our response? Okay, like today, they're going to shut down all the camps, they're going to shut down all the shuls, shut down, should just sit back and do nothing about it. Or maybe we should try to lobby. If we do feel that it's not fair, maybe we don't feel it's not, maybe this is correct. It's always a dilemma. Everyone is always challenged as what is the proper response. That is why they took they made the She'elus Chaloyim to understand what to do with the situation. And here's a shocking answer. The answer was Do Gezeras Oiraisa. Now I'm not fluent in all the nuances of Aramaic and of Hebrew. But in the big books, the people who do understand these things, the answer was surrender. Gezerah, when it says Do Gezerah Saraisa, it was understood by the people of this generation to mean the Ribbono Shel Olam has brought down upon this world a Gezerah. There's nothing you can do about it. You have to accept it, and it's not a time to resist. Don't go out on the day when they take out your Sifrei Talmud and they put it on a pyre to burn, don't be there. Don't go out and protest. Don't go out with signs. Don't go out and give up your life because they're going to burn the Talmud Bavli. It's a gezeirah min hashamayim. It's a terrible, terrible event. And there are going to be major ramifications that will come from this. But surrender. Just let it happen. Just like Yirmiyah told Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu Nebuchadnezzar is coming, surrender. Open the doors, raise the white flag. That's what Hashem wants. There are other times in Jewish history where you don't surrender. You give up your life for this. The Mar Chazal said that if they tell you to change the color of your shoelace, if you're wearing a black shoelace and they tell you, no, you have to wear a white shoelace because we want to flex our muscles and show the Jewish people who's in charge, give up your life. Really? To give up your life over the color of your shoelaces? Really? Well, sometimes the answer is yes. It all depends on the situation. This was a very great dilemma. No one of all the greatest people of the generation, even Rabbi Yechiel Miparis, Rabbi Yechiel, who was the one who led the debate and won the debate against the church in defending the Talmud Bavli, even he did not know what the response, the Jewish response should be to what was coming next, the Sreifas HaTalmud. The She'ela, it opens up a whole world, Rabbi said, this opens up for us a whole new world in appreciating Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. It's a whole new world. They didn't know what the response should be. They did not know how to respond. Should we resist or should we surrender? And the response, they took a She'elis Chaloim, and the She'elis Chaloim was the Gezerah Saraisa, which has a connotation, it's going to happen whether you like it or not, and it's something which you don't respond to. The word Gezerah means it's handed down, this is what happens. You're not involved. You're not. It's not your department here to resist. And that's exactly what they did. They did not resist. The Jews did not show up on the morning of the Sreifas HaTalmud into Notre Dame. Okay, they didn't go stand there with signs and make noise and act in a violent way. They just accepted it. Da Gezeras Araisa. This, Rabbi Yisrael, is very relevant for us today. Okay, because a lot of people today, in a lot of things, like, it all depends. With Corona, a lot of the leaders of the Jewish people, at least what I see, is they really feel, don't make noise. The Jewish people are in the noise too much. We should just plan within the system to find solutions in the meantime to our problems. It's not a time to go al Kiddush Hashem, to open a park. Okay, I know they're cheering this guy on. I know, I've seen the news, they cheer him on, this fellow who went and cut the locks. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know, I'm not wrong. What? Now, anyway, so what's the rush, right? What's the rush, right? So wait a week. Wait a week. What's the rush? Okay, that's just one example. That's just one example. But it opens up, it does this whole idea that I'm trying to bring out, it opens up a very powerful principle in Jewish history. It opens up a dilemma. When is it proper to go along and deal with the situation and acknowledge da gezeras oraisa? And when does the Torah demand from us, don't go like sheep? Don't take this nonsense. If someone's trying to harm you, you get organized and you respond. You respond legally, you respond non-violently, and you know something? There are times when you have to really do extreme things. If we were, when it came to the Holocaust, this is a very delicate concept, Holocaust. So the complaint, what's the complaint? You know, the Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah was not established by religious people. It was established on the, what date is Yom HaShoah? So the date that was selected is the date of the Warsaw Uprising. So what is the sentiment? The sentiment is, why did we go like sheep? Right? We should have been Moiser Nefesh, given up our life. From day one. From the very beginning. Day one we should have given up our life. From day one. What's with these ghettos? How did all this happen? Why weren't we more organized and just allow this to happen? I don't know the answer. Obviously, maybe there is obviously some truth to this. There is some truth to this, that we were too passive. But there's also an element, I'm telling you, I have no idea where, how, you don't know how you apply this, but there are things in life where it's not worth, this battle is just not worth it. It's not the time to fight this particular battle. Should they open up a park? Should I open up a park? When anyway, next week the park's going to open. What do you have to be in the news and make all this news? What do you have to go to a funeral? What do you have to go to a funeral for if the news, if the television cameras are going to be there? So there's no funeral like everyone else. This event illustrated the dilemma. What do we do? They've stolen our Talmud. They're going to burn the Talmud. What do we do? Should we go and give up our lives over this? Because after they burn our Talmud, they're going to come to burn us also. And that's what they did. After they burned our Talmud, you know what the next step was? You Jews, get out of here. Get lost. And many Jews died in the expulsions. They were totally bewildered, lost. They died from starvation, from famine, from disease. Many went and traveled the high seas. The ship sank. In 1492, when Columbus, the Girish Sfard, Spanish expulsion, I think it says there were 300,000 Jews who left Spain. And from the 300,000 Jews who left Spain, many of them died. Even though that was not the gzer, they should die. Many of them got on ships, and the ships sank because the ships were not, they took second-hand ships that were not really fit to sail in some of these waters. And many of them, they came to other countries, there was no food, they died from starvation. They came to places where it was cold, and they got sick and they died. The number of people who died from the expulsions was just horrific. And the chaos of the people who survived, if they remained Jews, even though they were not willing to give up their lives to convert to Christianity, but when they went to a new country, there was no opportunity to practice Judaism. And they just, their children, they just became, they became members of a different society. So where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line of resistance versus acceptance? And the story of the Sreifas HaTorah was such a disturbing dilemma of what the Jewish response should be. And the She'elas Chalom told them, don't resist. Let them burn your Sifrei Torah. And there are going to be big consequences. Do gezeira asaraisa. Okay, this is a whole new approach. I never, finally, for the very first time, every year we go through the sugya, and I never have any satisfaction understanding what are you doing? What are you asking Shilas Chalayim? What are they going to tell you? You have a choice? You have a choice? They took the Sifrei Torah. They burned the Sifrei Torah. So what are you asking? What are you asking in Shemayim? No, the question was, should we resist or should we be submissive? And the answer was, don't resist, accept. That's a painful pill to swallow. And obviously you can't extrapolate from one situation to another. You can't extrapolate. Every situation is unique and you need special siyata shmaya to figure out what to do. Okay, so let's summarize what we've done over here today. Today we've gone to the sugya, we went to the history of the Sreifas HaTalmud that took place in the year 1442. I think it was 1444 or 42 or 41, there were different opinions as when it took place. And we have a tainus tomorrow, Erev Shabbos. It used to be a fast day, a whole day, Erev Shabbos. Men over the age of 18, so all of you are exempt. I don't think there's anyone here that's a day over 16, it doesn't look like. So you're all exempt from fasting tomorrow. And your wife certainly, because a woman only has to fast if she's over the age of 16. I know they say sweet 16, but here the Olam looks more like 14 than 16. So you don't have to fast. No one today anyway fasts today, but it's a day to reflect, to contemplate what has happened. If you want to get score some bonus points, you can take out the kinos and recite Kina Mem Aleph, composed by the Maran Meranberg, Sha'ali Sirufa Be'esh. It used to also be in some communities a day of very great danger. A day of great danger where they wouldn't go to work. They would stay home on this day. This day was somehow Kabbalistically viewed to be a day of don't go out of your home. Interesting, that's what it says. They literally did not go out of their home. Quarantine. We know what that's like for the last 3-4 months. Don't leave your house. It's dangerous outside. Yesterday I contacted someone. I had to send a text to somebody. And the last time I was in communication with this person was about like approximately a week before Pesach. And this person, this is a woman, she wrote to me, I said, look at the text. I haven't spoken to her now, it's how many months? Pesach is a long time ago, okay? So it's been a long time since the week before Pesach, and I looked at the text, and on the text it says, the last thing she wrote to me is, stay away from people. Stay away from people. And I was so shocked when I read that yesterday. What kind of nusach is this? Stay away from people? What does that mean? I'm here in the room now with Mark. Mark is 6 feet away from me. Exactly 6 feet away from me, he has a mask on his chin. Stay away from people. What is that? Well, it's fascinating. It's exactly, you go back a week before Pesach, that's right, stay away from people. So, in these years ago, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, the rule was stay away from people. It's a day of great sakana. We don't treat it like that anymore today, but it's a horrific event, and the lessons that we gave, I think we gave a total of 4 different insights as to why we do it on Friday. Either it's Vida Gezerah Sarayis Tevav, or we want to connect it to the Pora Aduma. It's an atonement for the Cheto Egel. Rav Michal said a brilliant idea. It's connected, Pora Aduma is the quintessential chayk where the Umas Olam mock the Jewish people. We want to connect to the Pora Aduma. We said another time is Hafechba, the Kul, the Kulaba. It corresponds to the 6th day of the week. In a regular year, it corresponds to the Shiras Be'er. This year corresponds to the Pasuk of Kreis Yeomer LiYakov uLiYisrael Ma Poal Hashem. And then we discussed why in the world did the leaders of the generation take a She'elus Chaloyim to bring out in Jewish history, our leaders are always presented with the dilemma how to respond. Should we resist or should we surrender? Tzidkiyahu was told by Nebuchadnezzar, was told by Yirmiyahu, don't be so macho. Don't be so macho. Surrender. You'll live. He disobeyed. And look where that brought us. In other situations, we have a requirement to resist. And Menachem Zemba told the people, resist. In the First Crusade, resist. Does that mean we should always resist? Big dilemma. Sreifas HaTalmud is no small matter. What should we do? She'elus Chaloyim, do gezeiras oiraisa, surrender, accept. Can we extrapolate from there? No, we can't. But it only allows us to appreciate the dilemma that we face every single day living in Golis. We're always under attack. And we always have a dilemma what to do. When is it better to be quiet not make noise, or work out okay, and when is it you can't go like sheep? You got to step up to the plate. Here, Rabbi Sai, we will leave it with that. Wishing you all a wonderful day. Enjoy your Thursday.
Right. The last pasuk from the Chukas says that the sister will look safe on the meantime. They're still moving, you know?
Is there a share tomorrow, Rabbi?
Yes. The Yirtzeh Hashem.
How did he ask that?
It's a legal holiday.
Legal holiday, July 4th.
Legal holiday every day.
A legal holiday, yes. Okay. We're going to have a shiur tomorrow on a legal holiday, yes. Happy 4th. Happy 4th.
Is it a legal holiday or is it it's a different name?
July 4th. America. We celebrate America.
America doesn't exist. It's a land of dingbats or whatever you call it. Of dingbats. It's a land of dingbats.
What could I say?
Remember Archie? Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Zach. It's in very good shape.
Let's start. Why did we say that the uncle starts the V? He says V.
I told you a different gear size. Our gear doesn't have that.
Why, okay, but our gear is V. So look at the last pasuk of Chukas. I think there's a hint in there. So this is also, that last pasuk is also a Chukas Hatorah.
Last pasuk of Chukas?
Not Chukas, I keep saying, yes. No, Korach, I'm sorry.
Korach.
Sorry.
Korach.
Last pasuk of Korach, so V'lo sisu alo chay, parim, ten, esrel bo mimenu, es kodshe ben Yisrael, lo sechalu, lo somusu.
Yeah.
That itself sounds like a chok.
The
pasuk is coming out. What does that mean? It's talking about
truma,
but what does
this
mean? What is this last
pasuk? Truma. The last pasuk discussed with truma is truma.
So what would happen if you wouldn't do it?
If you don't, if you do
lift
not,
it up, you're going to die.
If you do not, yeah, this misa bidei shemayim. Tevel, that's right, Tevel. If you do not give Meiser Rishon, I mean Truma to the Kohen, if you don't give to the Kohen Truma,
I didn't see it.
One second.
Boy, you can really go cuckoo with that noise here.
If you don't give truma to the kohen, then the grain